Hey, Roger.
Hey, how are you?
You hear me now?
I hear you now, yes.
Okay, good. So it's me again and Vasil again.
Hi, man.
We're gonna do both this interview.
Yeah, there's two people doing the interview?
Yes, it's me and Vasil.
Oh, okay, hello.
Hi, we are two because we need to translate it.
Yeah, it's, don't get confused, but we... Between every question and answer, we're going to translate in Bulgarian directly.
Okay.
It's easy because my voice is more masculine than,
yes.
than the one of Alex, so.
But Alex's voice is pretty masculine when he sings.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right. Let's start. Are we recording?
Yeah,
okay.
We are.
All right, Roger, it's been 2 years since our last conversation here when your latest record, The American Dream Die, was about to be released. I remember even then we talked about your comeback to Sofia, but somehow we had to wait for two more years. Now finally we were AF will come back to Sofia and over the Balkan area after a long gap of 9 years. Well, better late than never, but this tour marks 35 years anniversary of the band. But band existence, which makes this show even more special. Please tell me, do you remember what you were thinking when you joined the band in 1982? And did you have any vision back then when we had to follow after that?
Well, when I joined the band, it was just a bunch of friends on the Lower East Side. We never had a vision of doing a world tour for sure, let alone a regular U.S. tour. I think we were just a bunch of friends, a bunch of outcasts, misfits, rebels who fought alike, and we gathered together in the Lower East Side and making music, writing stuff about, you know, what we saw was going on, you know, pretty much almost exactly the same lyrical contents as The American Dream Died. But if you would have told me in 1982, 83 that I was going to tour the world, I probably would have laughed in your face. I would have been like, are you crazy? Who the hell wants to see my shitty band all over the world?
Yeah.
Всъщност Сашо попита, сега това турне е много важно за нас, не само защото преди 2 години си говорихме за това, хайде крайно време да се върнете, ето сега това ще се случи цели 9 години след предишния ви концерт, но всъщност турнето по принцип, световното турне е важно, защото с него отбелязваме 35 години Агностик Фронт. Всъщност обаче тогава през 82-ро, когато ти се включи в бандата, мислеше ли, че това е възможно? Предавам разговор отзад напред, ха-ха-ха, ако ми беше казал нещо такова тогава, че ще правим световно турне, щях да се смея наистина адски силно и да те попитам ти лут ли си, защото всъщност ние бяхме просто група приятелчета, които се събрахме да правим музика, която харесваме и да представляваме, т.е. да дадем отражение на това, което се случва по света. Американската мечта беше умряла, но не. Просто да свирим, но не. Световно турне тогава беше нещо, за което изобщо не сме си представили.
Yeah. Tell us more about the documentary The Godfathers of Hardcore, which we saw a couple of trailers online, and we're very, very curious to see that one.
That documentary is really amazing. I got to see it, and it's cinematic, it's beautiful to watch. It's very different than a traditional documentary where you just see a lot of music, a lot of just all the band members and bands and stuff. This documentary is a very personal look at me and Vinny, like our lives, who we really are as people, and together collectively in Agnostic Front. It does have, of course it has Muse, our past shows, some of that stuff's in there, of course. You know, you're gonna see Rabies, you're gonna see Todd Youth, Jimmy Gestapo, you're gonna see the regular fellows, you know. And you're gonna see like almost a whole live show that we played in Berlin at SO36. It's beautiful to watch, and it's very, very personal because you get to meet me really in a personal level outside of the band, on stage, at home. You get to be in my house with me, with my children, with my wife, and see who I really am. And the same for Vinny. And I think it's it's great. It's like very genuine. It's about everything I always speak about, like people being real. And I think the documentary is going to bring that to light.
Да, попитах Роджер за този документален филм, озаглавен The Godfathers of Hardcore, който може би много от вас и нас са видели трейлери за него в интернет пространството, който трябва да излезе скоро. И той какво отговори,
колега?
Той
каза,
колега?
Че всъщност това е един доста по-различен документален филм от тези, който сме свикнали да гледаме, с музика, сцени, интервюта зад сцената. Всъщност, да, и тук има такива, разбира се, има едно цяло шоу в Берлин, но от друга страна, както всъщност можем да видим и обичайните муцури на Джими Гестапо и на
студиото и така нататък.
Точно така, но в същото време камерата влиза в дома на Роджер, показва децата му, семейството му, жена му, там където да той живее. По същия начин ни показва Вини Стигма, т.е. това, което ние сме говорили винаги, изкуството не е, а това да бъдеш истински, това да бъдеш такъв какъвто си. Този филм всъщност ни представя точно такива, каквито сме.
Yeah, and do you know the release date, when it's going to be out?
No, unfortunately, I don't know. I just talked to Ian yesterday. It's going to be out very, very soon. It's complete. It's just waiting to see what the next step is. So I assume by the end of the year, sometime after the release of my book, it probably will be out.
Всъщност не е ясно точната дата на излизане на филма. Говорил е с Иан, който прави това нещо. Предполага, че може би до края на годината, когато малко преди това трябва да излезе и книгата, която самия той Роджер пише, но всъщност има още някои неща, които довършителни работи свързали с албума, така че всъщност това е накратко отговорът, всъщност до края на годината.
Yeah, speaking of documenting history, you just mentioned your book, My Riot. Tell us more about this.
Okay, speaking about my book, again, that's also very personal to me. I, as you may have known, I don't know if you do know, I started this, writing this book journey back in 1999.
I heard about that,
I lost it a few times, especially during the 9/11 attacks when viruses hit computers and everything, and I lost it again. And then time took, you know, having children, moving, having three bands. So eventually it took a long time to finish it, but I am glad I finished it. It's also a very personal thing for me. It's kind of weird because it's finally going to be released, but at the same time, it's kind of, for anybody that knows me, knows I'm a very personal, humble type of a person. And it's kind of weird to put myself out there and share some of my life stories, my life experiences. The book itself is amazing to me. It's a story of an immigrant coming to America and kind of going for that American dream, but with struggle, some failure, some wrong decisions, but turning it back around and you know, making the best of it. You know, you could only, your life is full of choices. You can either make the right choice or the wrong choice. Yes, I've made some wrong choices, but the outcome of that has always been for me to see and get the, and kind of learn the best out of my bad choices so I wouldn't repeat them.
Книгата също е изключително продукт на личния свят на Роджер. Започнах да работя поне още през 1999. Сашо, Алекс,
да,
чувал си за това, дали говорих ти, каза той. След което на няколко пъти губих ръкописите. Единия път е естествено на 11 септември, когато вируси завладяха компютрите тук и изчезнаха файловете. След което, нали, родиха се деца, случиха се страшно много неща, но всъщност, аз съм, който ме познава, всъщност знае, че аз съм един много скромен човек, който рядко споделя своя собствен свят. И тази книга наистина е също много лична. Светът е, т.е. животът е пълен с множество избори, които трябва да прави човек. Аз съм правил добри избори, но и естествено няколко лоши. И тази книга ме представя именно в тази светлина. Okay, there is a documentary coming. A book coming, actually, it's been more than 2 years since the last Agnostic Front record. So, any news about obviously the next one.
Yes, we have been working on some songs. We have been, but it's, you know, it's kind of hard. You put out a record and you have to try to travel so much to get it to so many places and you lose track of time. But we feel like right now, especially on this upcoming tour right now, we're going to try to lay down some of the songs we have written and we're going to see what we could come up with, you know. But there is definitely one Agnostic Front record in the works and you're probably not going to see it till 2018.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully by summer of 2018, but we never know. And see where that takes us.
Yeah. Книги, т.е. книга, филм, все пак се интересуваме след като последния албум на Agnostic Front излезе преди две години, The American Dream Died, кога все пак бихме могли да имаме нов албум. Той каза, имаме някои нови песни, но всъщност там е работата, че когато пуснеш нов албум, след това трябва да пътуваш толкова много, че губиш представа за времето и така нататък. Не бих бил много конкретен в това, което ще ви кажа, но евентуално, може би 2018, лятото на 2018, т.е. след само една година.
Yes, and speaking about your book, the documentary and your Cuban roots, you're basically a Cuban refugee. When did you came to America?
I went to America. I mean, I arrived in America in 1969, I believe. Or was it 68? I can't remember. I think it may have been the end of 68, early 69. I was 4 years old when I came to America. And I came with my mother. My mother had three kids, me being the oldest, and my sister still like 6-7 months old. And she was 20 years old. And coming to a foreign country, not knowing a word of English is, you know, it was a scary thing and a scary struggle in my life. You'll read about it in the book. But it's, you know, it kind of all shaped me. All these things made me who I am, you know. And let me tell you also, part of the main reason why I really wanted to do this book, especially finish the book, is I wanted my children to know my history, who I am, where I come from, so they could tell their children, because they live a very different life than I live. And I think it's important for them to know the struggles that myself and my wife and people around me made for, you know, to get where we are.
Mm-hmm. Всъщност знаем, че той е бежанец от Куба.
Да, Роджер е кубински емигрант, което го прави бежанец, кубински бежанец.
Естествено по това време. И практически кога всъщност си стъпил на американска земя, той каза 68 или 69, не мога да си спомня. Самият аз бях едва на 4 години, майка ми на 20, аз най-голямото от 3 деца, като малката ми сестричка тогава е била на 6 месеца и всъщност една от причините, майка ми, представете си, влиза на 20 години без да знае една дума
земя
на английски, непозната земя. И всъщност по този начин аз написах мотивацията да завърша тази книга, е, че исках да разкажа своята история, така че моите деца, които естествено сега имат един съвсем различен живот, да открият моята история, своите корени и така нататък. Yourself, obviously, you missed the Woodstock Festival being 4 years old back then, but there was a movie, a documentary about the Rolling Stones playing in Cuba called Olé, Olé, Olé. If you had the chance to watch it, you had probably discovered a hell lot of things about your country of origin, did you?
I didn't watch that, but I would like to go back and watch it now that you mention it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we tried to go to Cuba. That was part of the documentary, what we were doing, and we had a show booked. We had airline tickets booked. We had it. My mother, myself, and my brother were going. My mother was in a kind of show us where we lived, everything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And at the very last minute on the Friday, when everybody got their visas to go to Cuba, because, you know, we can't just go to Cuba. You need to go to Cuba for reasoning. Even though they say it's open for traveling, it's not true. In America, you have to fit 12 criteria why you're going to Cuba. And this was, of course, documentary and film, and, you know. But they would not give myself, my brother, or my mother a visa to go to Cuba. So We lost all that. We lost the airline tickets. We lost everything. We lost. We couldn't play the show. We just. It was a Friday. We were supposed to leave that Saturday, and we were stopped, and we said we can't go.
So you were basically. Everyone else got visas except you and your mother and your brother.
Right, and you know, at that point, everybody's like, you know, the whole reason to go into Cuba was to film the documentary, yeah. film the show. And this doesn't make any sense. So everything got cancelled.
Попита го дали е гледал този филм на Rolling Stones за турнето в Латинска Америка, включително и онзи колосален голям безплатен концерт в Куба, филма Оле, 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 който излезе сега преди няколко месеца. Той каза, не, не съм го гледал, но ще го гледам, защото въпросът ми беше всъщност по този начин ти може би дори си успял да откриеш мястото, от което произлизаш. Той каза, не, самите ние искахме между другото да снимаме такъв документален филм, щяхме да направим концерт, обаче ако си мислите, че можеш просто хей така да отидеш в Куба. Не, имахме визи, имахме билети, трябваше да свирим концерт в петък вечер, обаче...
В събота вечер те разбират, че няма да могат да пътуват, защото визите на него, брат му и майка му, т.е. кубинските, бившите кубински
гърмът.
Да, не им дават визи.
Всъщност майка им е трябвало да им покаже всъщност къде се живее. Окей, ба... Like, time is in front of you, so you can always try another way to go back to Cuba and stuff. Have you ever thought to hook up with old relations, old family? Because now we know that a lot of Americans are trying to set up business in Cuba. Obviously, it's like a virgin place for making real business.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, of course, I would love to go to Cuba, of course. Half my family lives in Cuba. Everyone on my mother's side is in Cuba. It was my father's side that came to America. So my mother has, I have aunts, I have cousins, you know, there's a whole family there. And we've played with a Cuban hardcore band in Canada, and we helped them get to America to play Black and Blue. And Arabio, which are friends with us too, and they were booking our show. They were helping us go to Cuba, so it's not like we don't want to go. Of course, we want to go there, but I guess the problem was that they're not allowing any of the Cubans that left before 1971 that easy back in, because those are the Cubans that are considered anti the Castro regime, I guess. So there's still stuff going on, but I feel like in the next few years things will change really fast, and hopefully we can just get on a plane and go to Cuba like everybody else.
Васил попита Роджер
дали всъщност преди факта, че нещата много се променят, окей, тогава да са успели, но защо не скоро пак? Много американци и много други хора се опитват да установят, да направят бизнес в Куба. Той със сигурност има семейство, роднини там. Той каза, да, всъщност цялата ми рода от
майчина
линия е там, защото всъщност тук се преместих в Америка, дойде бащиния ми клон. Има много братовчеди. Ние всъщност сме свирили с кубинска хардкор банда. Взехме ги с нас в Канада.
В Канада са свирили и са им помогли да направят американско турне, дори са свирили на Black and Blue Bowl.
Да, и всъщност съм сигурен, че ще се случи да рано или късно ще се върнем в Куба.
Yeah, speaking about this, also only few people know that it was very, very hard for you to tour back in the days, and even for the first time to play in Sofia in Bulgaria, I don't remember, 2003 maybe, it was very hard for us to organize the paperwork, because back then you still had a
Cuban passport,
I think. It was something was really...
We had to fulfill a kind of the official invitation or something.
Yeah, I used to travel. I just became an American citizen in 2006.
Sounds very weird.
The very first time I started traveling the world, going to Europe, I had what they called a U.S. re-entry permit. And it was very difficult. It was very difficult to travel with that. And of course, back then, they didn't have a Schengen visa or anything like that. Each country had to give you an individual visa. And nobody wanted to be the first one to give me a visa. Because the U.S. re-entry states is just saying that you could re-enter the United States, but I could officially go to any country and claim citizenship, you know, or say I'm going to stay here. So nobody wanted to let me in. So I finally made friends with someone at the Holland Embassy. One of their brothers was a big fan of Agnostic Front. So every time I would go to Europe, of course, I would get him in on the guest list, and his sister would help me get my first visa. So then everybody else gave me visas, you know? Yeah. It was very, very tough. Then my mom went to Cuba, and she got all our old paperwork back and came back with our passport, you know, applications for a passport. And we got Cuban passports in like 2001 or 2002. And still with that, it was difficult because every time we would show my Cuban passport to somebody, they would say, is this real? Is this fake? Because not many Cubans travel, you know? And that was very difficult. And of course, it was the same thing. Everybody wanted, everybody was just unsure, I guess, because Cubans could claim nationality everywhere else. So in 2006, eventually, I just got tired of it. And I said, you know what? I'm just going to do this. Plus, I had a lot of legal problems. And it was hard for me to get American citizenship till 2006.
Спомням си, когато излизах от месарницата на графа и те видях, ти ходеше отекчен, отчаян, изморен. Какво правиш, Сашо? Господи, трябва да намерят и идиоти пред нотарията, които имаха пишещи машини, да попълним документите. Защо? За покана на Роджер, защото...
По случай първия концерт на Agnostic Front в София 2003-та, ако не ме лъжи
паметта. Да, до 2006-та всъщност той не е имал американски паспорт.
Американско гражданство,
да, документ, с който евентуално би могъл да се върне, и всъщност никой не е искал да му даде на времето тук първи виза, защото тогава, нали, нямаше обединение тип Шенген и трябва за всяка една държава да получиш виза, право да влезеш в нея, и съответно било много сложно.
Изключително трудно.
Докато не е намерил приятел в холандското посолство, който естествено има свободен достъп до бекстейдж на всеки концерт, но така или иначе нещата вече са се оправили.
Да, говорим за началото на 90-те години, т.е. в продължение на почти 20 и повече години.
Когато много българи спяха пред немското, гръцкото, да, посолство също така.
Agnostic Front и Роджер са направили толкова много турнета в Европа и те винаги са били свързани с ужасяващи проблеми за Роджер Мирът, за неговите визи и така нататък.
You said that back in 1982, while joining the band, if someone had told you that you would do world tours, you would laugh loudly, saying that he might be crazy. But back then again, 1982, if someone had told you that the world in 2017 would be that fucked up, would you laugh as well?
Yeah, I'm laughing about it now. Let me tell you something. The world is always going to be what it is. Unfortunately, the corruption, it's all about greed. It's all about power and greed. And people don't care about people. You know, the humanity is lost any interest in really caring about humanity. Well, and, you know, on our level, you know, of course, the rich, all they want to do is get richer. And they don't care how they get richer. They don't care how it sabotages the poor or the, you know, the people who aren't worthy. You know, that's what makes Agnostic Front special, is that we've always spoken about oppression and how to overcome oppression, or we've kind of gathered a group of people of likes, you know, people that we are all know how we live, how we are oppressed, and that's why people can relate to Agnostic Front.
Тогава през 82-ра каза, че ако някой при влизането ти в групата ти беше казал, че един ден ще правиш световни турнета, щеше да се смееш, да го сочиш пръст и да го наричаш лут, а тогава всъщност, ако някой ти беше казал, че сега през 2017-та светът толкова ще се прецака, щеше ли пак да се смееш? Нека да ви кажа, всъщност светът винаги бил прецакан и е бил... Всъщност светът си е такъв какъвто е, защото хората винаги са били движени от своята алчност и от желанието си за власт. Хората не искат да направят нещо за другите хора, и всъщност точно това е нещото, което прави Agnostic Front толкова специална група, защото ние винаги сме се интересували и сме изразявали точно това.
Yeah, on this upcoming anniversary tour, you play 31 shows in 31 days, no days off, no breaks. That's a lot even for way younger bands. How do you survive physically and mentally on such a long crazy trips? And do you have any special preparations or any ritual before leaving for such a long tour?
You know, it's something we've always done. I mean, we don't take breaks. We just go and we go, you know? And our preparation, we don't do any preparations. What's the only thing that sucks about all this stuff is waiting to play. We're excited to play. We want to go and play, but when we have to wait and wait and wait and be the last all night just to play, and then when the show's over, everybody leaves, you know? That's the part that sucks. But we're excited to go there and play. You know, I won't lie to you if I say it's not tougher, because we are older, but we've also changed our way of touring too because of it. You know, it's hard for us to just jump in a van, to be completely honest with you. It's just really hard, you know, as you get older. So we've had to change our ways to do it, especially doing 31 straight days in a row. A lot of bands don't do that, especially me. I have to scream for that whole time. And I do the best I can. There's no sick days allowed. And even when I'm sick, I've been on stage with high fevers, and I still go out there and, you know, do what I have to do.
You're the hot Cuban then.
Yeah, because you know what? The truth is, I wanted to come to your country, wherever that may be, and I wanted to perform, and I will do my best. I will give it 100%, and I will do everything I can to do as much as I can. That's who I am, you know?
Yeah.
I can imagine your mom is calling you Rogerio, and your kids call you father, but will call you Roger. Do you have a problem with that, or you will insist on your kids calling you Rogerio?
My kids, they call me dad.
Yeah, but sooner or later.
I mean, yeah, what's the right way of pronunciation, your name, your full name?
Rogelio is correct.
Yeah.
I've been so used to being called Roger ever since fourth grade because for the very long time, people didn't know how to say my name because it's very hard to pronounce. So people would be Rogelio, Rogolio. And finally, the teachers started calling me Roger and everybody knew my name. So I was happy that everybody knew my name. You know, but you know, that's why, I mean, I do love my real name. Rogelio is who I am, mm-hmm.
Ето, ти истинското му има е Рогерио. Доста време имало проблеми с това, защото не се знали как да го произнасят Роджер, Рогерио, Рогерио и така нататък, но всъщност това е истинското му име. Той е бил щастлив, че изобщо са можели да научат Роджер, защото го питах майка ти, очевидно те нарича Рогерио, децата ти вероятно един ден ще те наричат Роджер. Той каза, те ме наричат Дед, татко. Преди това обаче ставаше дума за 31 концерта всеки ден. В рамките на 31 дни, без никаква почивка. Имаше някакви специални ритуали, някаква специална подготовка. Ми не, нямам, но всъщност ние винаги сме били такива. Трябва да ви кажа, че естествено все пак на тази малко по-напреднала възраст ми е по-трудно да го правя, но пък скачайки във вена, ние действаме от начало до край. Имал съм концерти, в които съм бил с температура, но не може човек да си позволи да не направи концерт на Агностик Фронт. Не може да се отпуска, така че това е системата, но иначе няма нищо ново. Ние винаги сме правили така.
We got a few more minutes, but I can't not ask you, what's the worst and the best part of living on the road with Stigma?
Oh man, I was just gonna say the reason why I am Roger is because Stigma already stole Stigma, so I can't be Stigma. I have to be Roger, you know? Stigma is, let me tell you something, let me be really honest with you. If it wasn't for Stigma, I don't know if I would have been doing as much as I did, because he is my entertainment. He is my entertainment. I watch him, everything. One of my favorite things to do is watch Stigma eat. It's always been my favorite thing to do. He entertains me, and you need entertainment, you know, and I guess, you know, he entertains the world, to be honest with
Definitely.
You. How many
he
people
sings,
love
his dance
for that? And he does it in it's not just a thing for show or for people or for a concert. This is who he really is all the time. So because of that entertainment, it's made me kind of happy to be out on the road.
Какво е, не мога да не те попитам, всъщност каза в своят последен, предпоследен въпрос Александър, кое е най-хубавото и най-лошото от това да бъдеш толкова години близо до Вири Стигма? Знаете ли, всъщност ще бъда абсолютно искрен с вас, ако той не беше Гепи Умито преди мен, аз вместо Роза щях да се казвам Стигма, но всъщност то е моето забавление. Аз
една от основните причини,
една от основните
да
причини да продължавам да се занимавам с това, с което се занимавам, защото човек има нужда от нещо, с което да го забавлява. А Вини е непрекъснато изключително забавен и интересен за гледане. Неподправен. Той не се прави, не го прави заради шоуто. Просто той си е такъв и няма нищо по-забавно от това да гледаш как Вини Стигма се храни.
Да. I think we almost about to finish this one. Do you remember, by the way, the first time you played here in Sofia?
Yes, I do. It was a great show. I loved it completely. And you know, and even the I think we've only played there like two times, right? Yeah. And both those times have always been incredible, but I do remember the first one being completely insane.
Yes, it was probably the craziest show that we ever had here.
I think it was one of the craziest shows I ever played too, but even the second show, I really loved the second show too. That was pretty crazy.
That was great too. But that was 9 years ago.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know what's really upsetting is that we have to wait 9 years. We should be going there as often as we put records out.
Yeah,
but you know, some of this stuff is out of my hands, to be honest with you. And I'm really happy we're going. I love going there.
Yes,
I'm happy
too.
To be there. In fact, I trained with a friend of mine. I trained jiu-jitsu over here in at Gracie in Phoenix, and he's from Sofia, so he's excited that I'm going to his country.
Yes, I
his city, you know.
Yes, say hi to him then.
I will, of course.
We'll send him photos. All right, so I'm gonna do this, the translating this after we let you go back to the family, because I'm sure that then they will be missing you a lot during these 31 days.
Yeah, thank you very much for doing this interview, and we'll see you in a bit.
Okay, thank you, man. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Roger. Всъщност последният въпрос беше свързан с това дали си спомня онзи първи концерт. Той каза, по дяволите, това сигурно е най-дивия концерт, който най-лудото нещо, което ми се е случвало. Ти каза, че това е най-якият концерт, който се е случвал някога изобщо в България. Той каза, между другото, историят беше доста як, защото всъщност те са имали само два концерта до сега, и то последния преди цели 9 години. Ще ви кажа, че не всичко зависи от мен, ще си призная, каза Рохерио накрая. Не знам, трябваше да дойдам с предишния концерт, но ето, че това ще се случи и след малко, каза Александър Бояджиев. Аз
ще се видим съвсем скоро.
Аз му казах, хайде, остави ни да преведем това сега, когато вероятно е добре да се върнеш при децата си, защото после в продължение на цял месец ще им липсваш.
Точно така.